He is a doctor of note, Dr. Netanyahu. How are you, sir?
Good, Pedro. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So tell us a little bit about your background. I tell people you're my brain doctor. Tell me what your background is.
Well, I'm a neurologist by training. So I do see a fair number of patients with concussions, traumatic brain injury. I head the concussion center at Cornell, which is in New York City. And I also serve as the chief medical officer for the New York State Athletic Commission.
You know, I was concussed one time in Las Vegas. I fought in the National Golden Gloves at 147 pounds, which was a no-no because I'm 139 pounder. So I thought I would be lazy and not knock off the extra 8 pounds. Anyway, I got knocked around. I got hit so hard that when I was on the ground, Doc, I don't know if you can envision this or not, but the ropes are horizontal in a boxing ring. But when you're knocked down, they're vertical. They run up and down. And I was freaking out. What is that, up and down ropes? I couldn't believe it. But that was being concussed.
That's right. And what a lot of people don't understand is that boxing, and to an extent MMA, are unique sports. They are combat sports. Every punch which is thrown to the head is thrown with the idea of winning by causing a knockout. And a knockout is just another word for, you can say it's a concussion. So when you talk about concussion, think about it as a closed head injury. So when something hits the head, the brunt of the force is borne by the skull. The skull tries to protect the brain, mm-hmm. but some amount of force goes across to the brain. And, you know, as boxing fans, we can divide concussions. We see a lot of concussions in boxing, and you can divide a concussion into a mild concussion, a moderate, and a severe concussion. If you allow me, I'll give you a few examples which will help make this point. A mild concussion, you walk into a stiff jab. A boxer walks into a stiff right. For a few seconds, that boxer is stunned. You'll see them, they're just like stunned for a second. A lot of these players later, if you ask them, they say, I felt my bell being rung. But there's no loss of consciousness. The ref says, are you okay? He says, I'm fine. And, you know, the bout goes on. So point number one, you don't need to have loss of consciousness for a concussion to occur. You could be walking out of a room. You walk right into a door. You walk into a stiff jab. You see the stars. That's a mild concussion. Now, example of a moderate concussion, like a knockout in boxing. The boxer is knocked out. He's lying on the canvas. A lot of times, they will not be able to get up before the count of 10. The ref will stop the fight. Now, if you happen to be a ringside physician like me, when I jump into the ring, I'll sometimes find the boxer is unconscious. But the loss of consciousness is very brief, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 30 seconds. Very rapidly, the boxer will open his eyes. But when they open the eyes, you find them confused and disoriented, just the way you were given the example. So if you ask them things like, do you know where you are? He or she may not know they are in Madison Square Garden. Do you know whom you're fighting? They don't have the answer. Do you know what date is it today? You know, they're a little confused and disoriented. You give them a minute or so, they start clearing up. They'll say, hey, Doc, let me get up. I know the fight is over. I know where am I? And that's like a moderate concussion. Mm-hmm. Now, a severe concussion will be something different. Like, for example,
last night?
I'll give you, you can say that. Like, you know, where the episode of where the duration of loss of consciousness, the duration of this confusion is much longer. Like a lady I saw, she got hit by an e-bike. She flies off, head hits the cement. And her next memory is waking up in the hospital surrounded by doctors. She has no recollection of the bike hitting her, how she landed up to the hospital. So in a boxing fight, a boxer later says, I have really no recollection of the entire fight. My only memory is, you know, when the doctor was looking at me, I was a little confused and disoriented. So that's like a more severe concussion.
Interesting. You know, when I worked amateur fights, I had a Mission Boxing Club here back in the 1980s, early 1990s here in San Francisco, and I had a lot of kids who were like 10, 11, 12 years old, 13 years old, this and that. And I was reluctant to let them have contact, but some of them did have contact, and some of them competed. So when they were in competition, I had a towel on my hand the entire, every second of the fight, I had a towel on my hand, much like Jerry Tarkanian of the University of Las Vegas Rebels down there, the running Rebels, except he used to keep it to shut him up. I had it in my hand in order to throw it in the ring in case I saw my guy, one of my kids with crossed eyes or something like that, and the referee didn't see it because the referee is not perfect. But the bottom line is, in the world of the UFC, they let these guys take beatings that are just unparalleled. Those cornermen should be arrested.
Well, you make a very important point. One important point which people need to understand, especially combat sport athletes, boxers, MMA combatants. You know, I love, just like you, I'm passionate about these sports. I've been boxing myself, but I'm also very passionate about protecting the brain health of these athletes. One thing which athletes need to remember, they themselves at that time may not know they're concussed. A lot of times, the person who's concussed is like in a daze. He or she might have that glassy look. They're slightly out of it. The ref says, "Are you okay?" He might just nod. He or she might nod their head and say, "I'm fine." But they're actually concussed. Their legs are not under them. They're slightly swaying. You know that this guy has his bell has been rung. Now, that's important because if you let a concussed athlete continue to fight, two things can happen. He or she might recover. And that's fine. And we see that in boxing all the time. Somebody goes down, gets up, finishes the fight, wins the fight. But there's also a possibility that that concussed athlete can get hit again. And he or she can suffer multiple concussions. And that's where things go down south. And we all are worried about somebody suffering a bleed in the brain. But remember that bleed in the brain does not occur from one punch. It might be a series of punches which the boxer has taken over the few rounds. And so it's very important that, you know, somebody at the corner, I agree with you, somebody at the corner, because the ref may not be in a position to do that, somebody's keeping a count. How many times is my fighter getting his or her bell rung? How many times did I feel them stagger? At the right point in time, you need to know when to kind of say enough is enough, when to say I think we can go forward. It's a very delicate sort of decision-making process.
I've never seen him throw a towel in the UFC. I've never seen him throw one towel in all the fights.
Right, and you know, that is a culture of combat sports. You never say quit. You never say I'm going to call it a day.
But I got to say this. When the competition's over, the fight should be over. We'll stick around till after the break. Dr. Netan Seti is our guest. Of course, he is there. Our man, of course, comes to us from the University of Johns Hopkins. He's the director of medical director of the New York State Athletic Commission. We'll talk with him more after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. You're tuned to Ring Talk.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Never blame anybody for your own mistakes. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing. MMA, of course, come to you from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California. Of course, we take it to the East Coast. We bring in our resident brain expert talking about Dr. Netan Seti. Doc, the reluctance of corners to stop the fight, the reluctance of athletic commissions. I mean, you've got doctors sitting ringside in Nevada watching this go down, and when a guy gets... I mean, it's pretty obvious to me. That a couple times the guys have been hurt to the point in UFC fights where you need to stop them, and they're not getting stopped.
That's true. I mean, Pedro, the thing with these fights are, like I said, stopping a fight in time is a difficult. I think it's a difficult decision for everybody who's there ringside or cage side. Mm-hmm. Without commenting on the fight itself. Since I was not there, it will be irresponsible of me to comment on it. But yes, I think by and large, what the culture I feel should be that we have to understand that fights have to be stopped at times in a timely fashion. You might get, a doctor might get heat by the fans, and sometimes justified if the fans feel they feel that the doctor stopped the fight a little prematurely, and sometimes the boxer or the MMA combatant may be upset about that. But at the same time, you understand it's better to stop it a little too early than a little too late. We all are concerned about the fact that if you stop it late, then that boxer, that fighter is never going to come back again. Sometimes these injuries can be so devastating, as I see as a neurologist, that, you know, you don't get a second chance back in the ring or cage. I think that's the principle which personally me has always guided me. I always put the health and safety of the athlete in front of me.
Speaking of health and safety, I was interviewing Mark Gastineau. He was a former New York Jet, former NFL star. They call him the member of the sack exchange in New York City. Anyway, he was an NFL all-pro for a while, and I interviewed him in 92. We were doing a boxing interview together, and he had no attention span, none whatsoever, and I was wondering what's going on. I had to step on his foot to get his attention in a live interview. I kid you not, the elbow didn't work. So I thought about it a little while. I said to myself, you know, this guy's a little bit punchy. He's never taken any punches. And then I sat down with Gene Washington, who was formerly with the SF49ers, and he was number 18. He was a wide receiver, and he used to catch the ball all the time and fall down. So I said to him, we were doing radio together, I said, Gene, why did you always fall down when you caught the ball? He goes, if I didn't fall down, I wouldn't be able to talk to you nowadays. Is the NFL that bad?
Well, again, I would say the NFL has done a lot to improve to protect the health and safety of the athletes. It's unlike boxing. It's a contact sport. It's not a combat sport. But if you have ever been to an NFL game, head contacts are common. That further emphasizes that, you know, this is an ongoing work as a community. I would say as a boxing community, MMA community, football community, we all have to work together. I think that's where the education is very important. Like when what you are doing right now, I feel what I'm doing right now, the biggest thing I can contribute is education. Education for everybody, not just the athletes. It's for the trainers, for the coaches. You know, how many times an athlete gets sparred, while sparring gets a concussion? We don't even know. But we can prevent those concussions that occur in sparring. They are training for these fights. They are putting in 40, 50 rounds sparring before they come for these big fights. So, again, that same point comes in that it's an ongoing work and we are not there yet. Someday people will look back at us and say, did they do enough? And I want to feel that we did enough. We did enough. We protected these athletes. We protected their brains.
Good enough. Doc, I always thank you for telling it like it is when you come on the show. It's an honor to know you. It's an honor to meet you. I hope we can hook up in the future real soon. And the bottom line is with this pandemic going on. Now, from your medical point of view, can you see some light at the end of the tunnel?
I do. I do see light at the end of the tunnel. I think the vaccinations are going on. For people who are listening to your podcast, please talk to your doctors about vaccines. They are safe. There's enough safety evidence about them. If you have concerns about the vaccine, discuss it with your healthcare provider. I think the vaccines will be the way the world will open up. Important thing is that, you know, when you work a ringside event, you remember you can get infected. You might be okay, but you bring the virus back home and give it to your mother or father. So we all have to do a job. And I think that's where, again, we have to come together and fight this pandemic.
You know, Dr. Setti, you're my man, no doubt about that. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and telling it like it is. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Take care, Peter. Thank you for having me on.
The great Dr. Netan Sethi, folks. He just rocks and rolls. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline.